Hi, friend, and welcome to the Fruitful Podcast, where we share stories of faith, family, and fruitfulness. I'm Sherilyn Roodman, or in English, Sherilyn Roodman, and this podcast is something really special to me. Every episode features my mom, Lynette Steyn-Lorenz, and these are her original radio interviews, especially for Just Gospel Radio. And these are heartfelt conversations filled with wisdom, hope, and reminders that faith is found in the everyday. I wanted to share them here so they could keep encouraging hearts in new seasons and new spaces. Let's listen together to one of my mom's original conversations that still speaks so deeply today.
So Lynette, let's talk about boundaries. What are they? How do we set them? And from how young do we start setting boundaries for kids?
Okay, here we go. When I thought about this, I thought, let's get back to teaching children and talking about raising children again, because the most feedback I get after a talk is from mommies that ask me stuff about something that I said. So I thought, well, definitely my most fertile ground that I can sow into is then the mommies that's listening to this. So let's get back to that. And then I was thinking, what can we talk about today? And the Lord placed in my heart talking about boundaries. And we're going to consider teaching your children boundaries in a reactive or proactive way, or your child getting taught to just react or to be proactive. So we've talked about the importance of teaching our children boundaries in short and in between the other topics before. So this is not the first time I'm mentioning it.
Yes.
So, but let's just recap quickly. Teaching boundaries to children is crucial for their safety, of course, because then they know what they are allowed to do and not to do to protect themselves from bodily harm, their development, and their well-being. Boundaries help children understand their limits, respect others, and build healthy relationships as well. They also foster self-esteem, self-discipline, and a sense of security out of the boundaries. Now, we always connect with our manual for life, the Bible. So let's look at that. Let's turn to Bible verses that support the necessity for parents to set boundaries for their children. The first one is Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this one I love because if you look at that, fathers, do not provoke your children in anger. If you react to a child doing something that they're not supposed to do, what are you doing?
You're making them angry.
You are angry,
and
so you're provoking them.
Exactly.
And the Lord exactly says, don't do that, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yay.
So there's our first one that just lines it out to us. Don't react to your children's behavior, but rather be proactive. Okay, second one I want to highlight here is Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And this one I want to pull back to your childhood. Maybe your parents didn't teach you proactive boundaries, but they reacted and taught you to react to something that you don't like. And then if you look at this, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it means that you're going to react the same with your children.
Exactly.
And except if you make a decision, a head decision, that I'm going to do this different.
Hmm.
Because we copy and paste what we see with our parents.
That's very true.
We've said that so many times. So try to train your children in the way that you would one day have them training your grandchildren.
Yes.
For a grandmother, that is so valuable, because I would have spanked my children, for instance, but I don't want them to do that with my grandchildren.
Exactly.
I would have allowed some stuff with my children, which I want to protect my grandchildren against being a grandmother.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind. If you handle your child in a certain way, just think for a moment, would you like your child to act that same way with your grandchildren one day? Because they will copy and paste your behavior.
And you see, for my mom, because we grew up in an age where whatever it is that you did wrong, the first thing, most
the
of rod us,
comes out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my sister is not raising her kids like that. So it frustrates my mom. She's like, I don't understand. What is this thing that I need to talk to a child? Just, and then they'll listen.
Hat off to your sister. I must say, I am not against proper hiding if necessary
at
a last resort.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. They don't do it unless if they absolutely must.
Yeah.
And they've never done it.
Yeah.
They always sit the kids down and, well, the one child that listens, the other's like a year. So they sit the nephew down and they talk to the nephew. Yeah. What you did is not right. These are the reasons why it's not right. And please don't do it next time because these are the consequences. Now he tells everyone the consequences. He's like, this is the consequences of what you did.
So your sister actually already understands proactive boundaries.
Yay.
Wonderful. But let's skip to the script here.
Let's skip to the script. Yes. Let's
Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance. What's the English word? Vigilance.
Vigilance, yes.
For from it flow the springs of life. And this verse highlights the need to protect one's heart and mind, which is foundational to setting healthy boundaries in life. It just shows that when you get angry and you react, that you don't act in the way that God wants you to act.
Exactly.
So you need to be proactive and guard your heart so that you will act in the way that God wants you to act. Because from there, the springs of life will flow.
Yes.
So back to the topic of the day. Now, Malefa already touched it with her storytelling and sharing here. But reactive versus proactive boundaries, what we're talking about. Now, reactive means, if we look at the dictionaries, acting in response to a situation rather than creating or controlling it. Now, proactive means a person or action creating or controlling a situation rather than just responding to it after it has happened already. Now, what we understand, is the difference. So now that we understand the difference, let's discuss what is best for our children, reacting or controlling or creating.
Yes.
Now, you said, asked the question with the introduction, you said what age and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But boundaries is from day one. Day one, the day that your child is born. You're not going to take your little one and put it on a bed in this windy weather without enough clothes on because the protection of the body needs heat.
Exactly.
That is even setting boundaries because what are you teaching your child, even though you don't realize it, you think you're just taking care of your child, but what are you actually teaching your child? I need to take care of myself one day.
Yes.
My body needs heat. When you breastfeed your child, you look at your child with the soft eyes. What are you doing? You're teaching your child you need intimate relationships.
What?
You need kind eyes. You're already teaching your child some values in life. So from day one, you actually start teaching your child these boundaries. And from out of what you start with early, that would start off as reactive, will then later on, with a lot of patience, a lot of time, turn into proactive boundaries.
What?
As the child develops, they learn understanding of what is going on and they can start making choices. So let's look at it more closely.
Yes.
Reactive boundaries signals that something needs to be dealt with. In other words, reactive boundaries are the child's reaction to something that has happened and merely identifies that there's a problem. Contrary to this, proactive boundaries go beyond merely indicating that something is wrong to solving the problem. This implies proactive planning of future behavior to resolve the present unwanted, uncomfortable, unacceptable situation created by someone else's behavior. So from day one, it's not going to change anything, but being consistent and teaching your child that this is not the way to do it. Staying calm, because remember, children copy and paste. Now, baby is throwing a tantrum because there's something wrong. I don't like the situation. So baby is throwing a tantrum. Now, what is mommy doing? She is tired, or daddy, tired. They don't have the patience to deal with this now. So what do? They're actually throwing a tantrum back by just impulsively spanking the child and say, this is enough. Stop this behavior. So what are they teaching child? If I don't like something, I throw a tantrum. It's okay. But sitting down with little one and saying, I see you are upset, acknowledging the feeling. I see you are upset. I see you are really very angry now. But throwing yourself on the floor and screaming is not going to change the situation. So if you want to cry, come cry. Take your time, cry. And then we can talk about what's wrong and how we can change it for the future. And when they're
you let them sit in the feeling.
Yes. Okay. You talk about the feeling. But when they're small, they won't really change it. And we must understand that. They're immature. They won't really change it. But before long, they will. They will start changing it. They know what is good behavior and what is bad behavior.
That is true.
And by consistently talking to them about it, eventually it will start changing. My oldest grandson is 3 years old, and he is not throwing tantrums the whole time anymore. He's going out of that phase and understanding that this is not good behavior. He had the public speaking event at his school the other day, and he had to talk about good choices and bad choices, and he can understand what is a good choice and a bad choice. So they can, at 3 years old. So,
and they are not beyond comprehension.
They understand it. So even us as adults, we struggle to choose proactivity above reactivity.
Yes.
Especially those of us who have not been taught to set boundaries proactively as children. We tend to hope that the problem will just go away. Sometimes we might withdraw. Now think about this behavior. Sometimes we might withdraw, while other times we may give the other person a cold shoulder, or even worse, just lash out at them.
The silent treatment.
Yes.
And you bury your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Yes. These behaviors are intended to give the other person a warning to back off and not repeat that behavior because we don't like it. What we most probably have not been taught, or tend to forget if we choose to, is that we cannot change another person's habitual behavior by our reactive behavior. We cannot change the other person.
That is true.
So how often do we use one or more of these phrases? I am writing him or her off. Enough is enough. If she does not ask forgiveness, I will not talk to her ever again. I just want him or her out of my space. We hear that.
A lot.
Or this one. What can I do to change my husband or my wife's behavior towards me?
Zero.
Zero. You can't change them.
We are not Bob the Builder.
Precisely. These statements merely indicate that there are an existing problem, but do not solve the problem. Young children cannot verbalize their frustrations, dislikes, and fears. They can only protest reactively through different unwise and unhelpful behaviors showing the emotion, which they don't understand
exactly yet.
So we as parents need to help them to develop the ability to set appropriate boundaries instead of exploding, withdrawing, or being impulsive or even abusive, hitting or throwing or whatever.
Yes.
When children are very young, the reactive boundaries are necessary for their protection, survival, and growth. Children are not born with the ability to set proactive boundaries, yet they must be able to protest when they do not like what is done towards them, like for endlessly being kicked by the brother, or maybe something that they fear, whatever. They react. They're not able to set the proactive boundaries. However, they cannot get stuck in that expressing what they hate after it's happened in their childhood into adulthood. They must be able to grow out of that.
Yes.
They need to be taught to grow up defined by more than just the things that they hate.
Hmm.
Okay. So I think, listener, if you are really honest with yourself, that some parents listening to this can recognize some of their own adult struggles resulting from not being allowed to protest as a very young child or not having been taught how to set boundaries proactively. As a counselor, I can also identify many of my clients' inabilities to set boundaries from what is discussed here today. When children do not grow beyond reactive boundaries, they develop a victim identity. They view their struggles to be caused by circumstances or people around them and not from inside themselves.
What?
They would typically tell you, they hurt me, or you make me angry. Or even if he or she would. The dilemma is that no problem originating from outside of us is solvable by us. So you need to take responsibility for your own reaction.
Exactly.
And start to act proactively.
And I guess then it also goes back to introspection, to say, why is this triggering me? If, you know, you get to that level as an adult.
Yeah, if you can rise to that level of maturity.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at some reactive boundary behavior by children, and you will, listeners, all recognize these. First one,
yes.
Major one, tantrums.
Yes.
They usually come at the most inconvenient time and place, in the middle of the mall, in the middle of the day, with a lot of people there. The easiest way is then to give in to the demand. Even we as adults do not want our desires and demands unfulfilled. We can also throw a tantrum, usually against our spouse, maybe an adult child, a friend, of course, and then another one against God. We sometimes throw against God. In adults, tantrums could take the form of emotional withdrawal, a cold shoulder, like I said, financial punishment, and then bad one in our marriages. We withhold sexual intimacy as a reaction to unwanted behavior from our spouse. And that is where the enemy gets its foot in and really cause a lot of marital problems. And then this one word I made up, oppositionalism, but opposing exactly what is happening. I couldn't find a word.
Oppositionalism.
I made it up.
We have made the word. We have made it a word.
The child showing this behavior opposes whatever the parent says or asks or requires of the child. I remember my one cousin telling me once that if her son has to go for a bath, he hated bathing.
Oh my goodness.
But he didn't like doing what she asked him to do. So whatever she did was wanted him to do, what she did was she asked him the opposite. So she'll tell him, Davi, tonight you cannot go for a bath because there's not enough hot water for everybody. So tonight you have to sit out. You cannot bath. And under no circumstances is it your turn to bath tonight. Then you'll start throwing a tantrum and say, I want a bath. And she puts him in the bath and she baths. So she'll ask him the opposite because he was just doing the opposite she was asking. So the child will refuse to pick up the clothes behind or clean the room or clear the table or do homework or whatever just because my parent asks. It's just like a rebellious behavior. I don't know if asking them to do the opposite is the solution, but that's what she did. Okay, whining. When the parent dares to restrict the child's behavior, limits, say for instance, the time spent on a game or refuse them to buy a toy or maybe a chocolate in the queue at the till, plaintive complaining immediately follows. How many times do you see the parent standing with a trolley and the child in the trolley and the child crying? It's not even a cry, there's no tears. But you hear this. The whole time at the
kid gets what they want.
And then eventually the parent gives in. But what does that teach the child?
Whenever I'm in public, I whine.
Then I get what I want. Yes. And if I don't get it now, I just whine for longer. Then I will eventually get what I want. So they just teach them to whine for longer because they will get what they want. Okay, impulsivity. When the child is denied something, she immediately says something hurtful like, "You're stupid," or "I don't love you anymore." So impulsive, or throw something. They even throw something.
Mm.
Then fighting and violence. This happens when the child protests, takes on a physical dimensions. They want to hurt you. They start hitting you. They want to break stuff, or even get into bullying at school because that's a place where they can get rid of their frustration.
Mm.
Okay, so our child's responses are reactions to some external influences and are not determined by the internal values or thoughts. So this is what we need to work at.
Yes.
Their reactions are against what they don't like and are not determined by what they value. Reactive boundaries are thus not value driven, but driven by discomfort, dislike, fear, frustrations, and desires. So when you want to teach your child proactive boundaries, remember you start at a very, very early age.
Mm.
The teenager acting out and throwing tantrums, you're not going to
start
there.
Early.
It's too late.
It's too late.
You have to start with your little one, talking them through what is happening, acknowledging their feelings, because that is important, but
yes.
Acknowledge the feeling. I can see you're upset, or I can see this is hurting your heart, making you sad, but let's look at this. How are we going to handle this? And then pull it through to values. And we as Christians have got our instruction manual.
Yes.
We've got the Bible that teaches us godly values. And if you want to teach your child proactive boundaries, we draw back to that.
Mm.
What does the Lord say about us, the values we have to have?
Yes.
Lift out a few, like respect, for instance, and then you can turn that back to your child. Throwing a tantrum about, let's take an example of, I can't get that chocolate.
Yes.
Now I'm throwing a tantrum. I can see you are upset. You really want that chocolate. But turn it to the values. We have to respect others as well. Mommy do not have the money for the chocolate now, but never lie to your child.
Yes.
So don't use that excuse if you have the money. Rather say something like, we cannot buy the chocolate now because we're not going to buy a chocolate each time we come to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
You had one the last time, or whatever the reason may
yes.
be. But tell them that you cannot have that now. So you have got a choice. You can all change your behavior here, and next time maybe we can buy you a chocolate, or you can throw your behavior and your screaming, which is not acceptable and respectable, respecting the people around us as well. So next time you will not come to the shop. You can choose and allow them to choose. So
yes.
if they keep on, then you must keep with your decision or what they have actually decided. If they decide, but I'm going to keep on throwing this tantrum, okay. Next time, mommy is going to the shop, but remember last time you were kicking and screaming in the shop. You were not respecting the people around us. So today you're going to stay at home and make sure that they know they're staying at home because the behavior was they didn't live out the value
exactly
the last time, so that they know why.
Mm.
Okay, that I'm going to skip for now. What are proactive boundaries?
Yes.
Let us define proactive boundaries in the following way. Proactive boundaries go beyond the problem identification to the problem solving. I'm going to discuss this a little bit more now. It encompasses both what the child is for and against, and it means others can't control the child. And that one is important for when they are getting older, so that
sure.
the peers cannot control them.
Yes.
Okay. Or even when they're adults, that other people don't control them. So let's discuss this. Proactive boundaries go beyond the problem identification to the problem solving. The mature, caring parent can help the child to consider more constructive expressions of their personal desires, likes, and dislikes. So the mature parent won't jump on their own emotion and let their anger take over. They will sit down with the child and discuss What has upset you? Why are you behaving in this way? What is your emotion you are feeling now? What caused it? Where did it come from? And discuss it with them. The underlying principle here is, again, to guide the child to take ownership of their feelings by allowing the feelings and guiding the child to expressions of these feelings instead of expecting the circumstances to change by their reaction to the circumstances. For instance, if the child was throwing a tantrum because they were angry, because they couldn't get whatever they wanted, I can see you're upset. I can see you feeling angry. I acknowledge that you're allowed to have this feeling of anger because it's a feeling you have.
Mm.
So we acknowledge the feeling, but how are we going to get this feeling out positively?
Yes.
And when my one son had problems with handling anger at one stage when he was a teenager, he actually bought it with his own pocket money, but a punching bag, boxing punching bag. And when he had anger in himself, he punched the boxing bag. But a good way to get rid of anger is to actually do physical exercise. And even when your child is very, very young, 2 years old, when they're throwing that tantrum and you acknowledge their feeling, I can see you're upset, but let's see if our body can get rid of this upsetness in another way. Let's run to that wall and back. See who's first. Come, I'm racing you. And you run. And if the child doesn't want to run with you, you make a big thing of, you won this race. And no, I won you. And okay, let's go again. And maybe they'll go with you again the second time to get rid of that upbuilding feeling of frustration. Very good way is physical exercise.
Okay.
So that's just an example.
Yes. Then
proactive boundaries encompass both what the child is for and against. In the mature parent can help the child to learn to take a stand based on healthy and positive values to protect herself and learn to live from the heart of God. And this one to me is very important. For example, she can learn that God loves her body and he or she is allowed to love their own body. He or she can then take a stand against abuse or somebody hurting her for the love of their own body. And not merely out of the fear of getting hurt, and this and then reacting to the hurt. And this helps when they, for instance, are bullied at school. Sometimes they just stay quiet because they're scared the other one's going to keep on bullying them. They don't say anything until it's really bad. But if
then by that time it's too late.
Then they've got emotional scarring and everything. But if they value their body and I am important, my body is important, my body is a temple of the Lord, and somebody is bullying them, they can stand up and say, this is not good because God made me, and if I get hurt, then I'm hurting God's temple. So I don't want this. And they can come talk about it and solutions can be found. So out of the value of my body is a temple of the Lord, they can speak up. And it also makes them feel that they are not complaining for nothing. Because there's a reason. I am not just me by myself. I am valuing my body as something that God has made.
Absolutely.
So this helps the child to learn principles for setting proactive boundaries instead of needing to do to work out rules for every situation that they come into. If something is penetrating your value or getting behind the lines of your value, you are allowed to speak up. It's not okay.
Exactly. Okay.
Then proactive boundaries means that others can't control the child, and I said this is starting to teach them at an early age, but really meaningful when they get older. And this is to guide your child to understand that a boundary is set based on internal values in line with who God is and how God has made us in his image. So they can then use the values and the image of God to say, but I am not going to drink alcohol with you because I believe that is not the person God made me. And not feel guilty about it. Or even if they say, but you're chicken, or they challenge the child. No, I'm not. I'm standing by the values that God has made me with. And that just helps them to have something else to stand on and not just themselves or being challenged just for who they are.
Yay.
So there's my two cents on reactive and proactive boundaries. I wish I can actually say a lot more about it.
Ah, maybe we can do a series on boundaries.
We can maybe do a series on boundaries. There's quite a lot to say about boundaries.
So when do we start? Is this part one of three parts or two parts?
Five parts. We'll see. Let's talk about boundaries more next week, and then we'll decide if we follow on that again.
Wonderful. So yeah. Then we say this is part one of, we'll see where it goes.
Where it goes, yeah.
Wonderful. Good. Lynette, thank you so much for telling us about boundaries and healthy ways of establishing boundaries proactively and not reactively, because some adults are still stuck in their childhood emotions and they are just reactive and they don't want to do introspection.
No.
I only learned about introspection when I was about 21, 22-ish. Because I didn't understand. I'm like, what is this? And my friend is like, no, it's important. You need to do it so that you know yourself better and people don't control you as much. And since then, I always do introspection. I'm like, okay, what is it about this that is reflecting me? Because it's not this person. It's something about what they said or what they did that reflects on me to say, okay, why is this a trigger? Why is this attached to
me? Where did this emotion come from?
Where is it? Exactly. Yeah. It's so hard. It's not easy. No, it's challenging, but it is
healthy.
Worth it.
It's healthy.
It is healthy.
Thanks for listening to the Fruitful Podcast, originally produced for Just Gospel Radio, used with permission. You can find more at fruitfulfig.ca/links. Or support the work at buymeacoffee.com/fruitfulfig. And remember, every fig has a season.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk. Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.